It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Many people left with more questions than answers this morning in the death of Jeffrey Epstein. Officials say the multimillionaire died from an apparent suicide, but many are wondering how this could have happened and if he was in federal custody at the Metropolitan Correctional Center in New York, how that could have happened there. Sources tell the AP the housing unit where Epstein was being kept was only staffed with 2 guards because of shortages. And officials tell the New York Post surveillance cameras were not pointed inside his cell, only outside of it. Epstein was arrested July 6th in New Jersey. Days later, he pled not guilty to charges of conspiracy and sex trafficking. About 2 weeks later, he was found unconscious in his cell with marks on his neck and what's being described as a suicide attempt. And then, of course, as you know, less than a week after, sources say Epstein was removed from suicide watch. The White House says the president wants answers.
I think the president just wants everything to be investigated. And it's not for me to go further than where the DOJ and FBI are right now. But you do hear different people asking questions, and they want to know who else was involved.
And so, Pete Griff Ainsley, the medical examiner's office did perform an autopsy, but they have yet to release results pending further information.
All right, that was Aisha Hassini from Fox News this morning. And I wanted to spend a few minutes talking about this. You know, generally, I don't really like to talk about what might be considered tabloid stories. You notice I just don't talk about them very much, things that are sensationalized and made sexual. But this story has so many implications, not only of Jeffrey Epstein's crimes, but also his celebrity famous counterparts that were involved in this in some form or fashion, the way that he died, what it says about our justice system, what it says about our prisons. The implications are huge, so just stay with me for a minute as I talk about it. Jeffrey Epstein, I'm sure you have a general knowledge. You know that he's accused of, I'm not going to get into a lot of graphics here because it's just not necessary. But let me just say that he liked underage girls, and we don't know how young, because he had an island. It was known as Orgy Island. He had planes, multiple planes, one called the Lolita Express. In fact, he bought a huge plane that seated 200 for the purpose of... Lolita was a 12-year-old girl who was kept by a much older 50s businessman in a movie that was made popular in the 60s, I think. And that's why it was called the Lolita Express. I mean, the things that he's been accused of and the stories that are coming out are so sordid, it's hard to comprehend. It's hurtful, actually painful to comprehend it. There are a lot of lawsuits against him by individual women, but some are unknown and unnamed. And of course, who knows, they were flown into that island. I'm sure some were solicited on the island. It is a horrendous story, but, you know, there are pedophiles all over the world. You know, Thailand, Bangkok is the capital, as far as I know, it used to be the capital of sex trafficking and of the most sordid kind. So this is like not news that men primarily are engaged in this worldwide. I think the thing that's news is that Jeffrey Epstein was a multi, I think he was worth $500 million. I think that's what I read. He had multiple homes. They were, you know, huge, palatial, and he was the place to go. He was the it guy. All kinds of famous people interacted and spent time with Jeffrey Epstein. And so I want to get into that in just a second. The thing about it is, he was found dead Saturday morning suddenly. And the implications of this are he was getting ready to go to trial in New York. He had already been on trial in Florida and had been let off, some would say, with a very easy sentence. In fact, some are alleging that he was actually able to, have the companionship of more women while he was incarcerated. He had some sort of a sweetheart deal. He had connections in high places. There's just no question about that. And so somehow these charges resurfaced in New York, and I'm not clear, honestly, about the charges that were being brought against him. I think his defenders were saying it was some of the same things that were brought against him in Florida, but others were saying, no, it was things that happened in his palatial apartment in New York. So I don't know. But we know that Jeffrey Epstein knew all of these secrets, and we know that a lot of people did not want those secrets to get out. So it was one of the things that alerted me this over the weekend that this was maybe more serious than I might have thought. I mean, pedophiles, when they go to prison, are hated by other prisoners. It is the unpardonable sin. I mean, you can commit, my husband has said this to me. He is, of course, a former, he sent a lot of people to prison as a Federal Bureau of Investigation agent. And he said that, you know, if you've killed someone, if you've raped someone, if you've stolen, if you've robbed a bank, you know, no big deal. But if you are a pedophile, you are anathema to prisoners. So I think that most of us feel that people who are involved in this are not necessarily, we sort of feel like if their lives are taken, it's, you know, we're not going to cry a lot of tears, I guess, unless they're our fathers or our brothers. I don't know. But there's more at stake here than just that. And so Saturday morning, I was pretty stunned when I read this statement by Attorney General William Barr. And he said, I was appalled to learn that Jeffrey Epstein was found dead early this morning from an apparent suicide while in federal custody. Mr. Epstein's death raises serious questions that must be answered. In addition to the FBI's investigation, I have consulted with the Inspector General, who is opening an investigation into the circumstances of Mr. Epstein's death. Notice General Barr says apparent suicide, and he says that for a reason. Now, there was a short interaction on MSNBC that will kind of jumpstart this part of the discussion. This is Stephanie Gosk on MSNBC with Joy Reid. Let's listen.
An important thing to remember about this facility, this is the Metropolitan Corrections Center here in Manhattan. This is not a city-run or state-run facility. This is a federal-run facility, Department of Justice. So you would expect to hear also from the Department of Justice on this. You can imagine that there will be an investigation launched. The big question, how is it that someone who they suspected may have tried to take his own life just a matter of weeks ago was actually able to take his own life last night.
And wait, hold on a second. Can we just say this again? So this facility is run by the Department of Justice, meaning William Barr's.
That's correct. And on top of it, it is a facility that has been relied on to hold some very high-profile prisoners, including El Chapo. I believe Manafort was there. Paul Manafort was held there for a period of time. It is considered to be a very secure place. I mean, El Chapo escaped from prison a number of times. They weren't going to throw him into something where he would have that opportunity again. This is supposed to be a top-notch facility. Again, how did it happen? That investigation is got to be launched soon.
All right. So that kind of gives you an idea of how serious this is. So Jeffrey Epstein, 2 weeks ago, either tried to kill himself or was attacked. There were marks on his neck. No one has ever really established that. So he should have been on suicide watch. And even in that cell, as I understand it, the protocol is that the prisoner is checked every 30 minutes and sometimes every 15 minutes. Let me just read. I want to read this. Here we go. This is a former inmate of that particular facility. I think it's in downtown New York City. It's like a jail. It's we have that in Chicago, too, where it's a very serious facility, lockdown. But it's not in a remote area. It's kind of an interim facility. So this is a former inmate speaking anonymously, and he says there's no way Jeffrey Epstein killed himself. Between the floor and the ceiling is like 8 or 9 feet. There's no way for you to connect to anything. You have sheets, but they're paper, not strong enough. He was 200 pounds. It would never have happened. When you're on suicide watch, they put you in this white smock, a straitjacket. They know a person cannot be injurious to themselves. The clothing they give you is in a jump-in uniform. Everything is a dark brown color. Could he have done it from the bed? No, sir. There's a steel frame. You can't move it. There's no light fixture. There's no bars. They don't give you enough in there that you could successfully create an instrument of death. You want to write a letter? They give you rubber pens, maybe once a week a piece of paper. Nothing hard or made of metal. And there's a cop at the door about every 9 minutes, whether you're on suicide watch or not. And so he talks, though, about how the guards love this. He said there are about 80 people there. They can put two in a cell. It's like you're an animal and you've been brought to a kennel. A guy like Jeffrey, it's like, I can't say that word. I told my parents not to come there. God wasn't in the building. I've had some heavy incidents in the building. What happened is permanent. Some of the guards are on a major power trip. They know guys are suffering. They know something the rest of the world hasn't seen, that a place like this exists in this country, and they get off on it. If the guards see the guy is breaking, they're going to help you break. But it's my firm belief that Jeffrey Epstein did not commit suicide. It just didn't happen. All right, he raises other questions about the potential role of the guards. Who knows about that? And yet we are learning now that not only was he not on suicide watch, even though we think there was an attempted suicide or someone tried to kill him, he was left alone in the cell. His roommate, the Justice Department, was told that he'd have a roommate and that he would be checked every 15, 30 minutes. Well, the roommate was taken out. And it looks like now that the guards at that unit were working extreme overtime shifts to make up for staffing shortages the night of his suicide. The cameras were not turned into the cell so that there's no camera. Which generally, as I understand it, they have cameras so that they know exactly what's happening when someone's being held on such a serious charge and has such a high profile and so much resting on this case. Ben Sasse is very upset about that. The senator from Nebraska, he has written a letter to Attorney General Barr and saying heads must roll. Every single person in the Justice Department, from your main justice headquarters staff all the way to the night shift jailer, knew that this man was a suicide risk and that his dark secrets couldn't be allowed to die with him. And so the removal from suicide watch by Epstein would have to have been approved by both the warden of the jail and the facility's chief psychologist. He would not have been removed without their permission. So that's why the Justice Department is deep into investigating what happened here. I want to tell you something about now the political side of this, maybe in a second. Let me just finish this because I may have to take a break and come on the other side because this is, as I said, an important story. On Friday, before Jeffrey Epstein was found dead in his cell on Saturday morning, about 2,000 pages of documents were released that have to do with a lawsuit that was brought against Jeffrey Epstein by a woman named Virginia Giuffre. I don't know. That's the best pronunciation I can give you. She, ironically, her father worked at Mar-a-Lago in Florida. She was just a young girl when a woman on behalf of Jeffrey Epstein recruited her. And I don't think, according to her, she had no idea what she was being recruited for, and that's how it all started. But she's a key figure in much of his stories. And so her lawsuit reveals a lot, and it was released, the inside information on it, 2,000 pages on Friday, and he kills him. Well, he's found dead Saturday morning. Now the question, of course, was it suicide? Were all these things just coincidences that the guards were working overtime, that no one was, they said he was alone all night in the cell. That was the other thing that was reported, that there were no cameras functioning, that he was not on suicide watch. It's a very curious situation, and that's why General Barr is appalled, and that's why Ben Sasse says head must roll. Now, the political implications need to be discussed also, so we'll do that on the other side of the break. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
It's Truth for Youth Bible Week.
And I woke up one morning and I told myself that if nobody told me that they loved me that day, then I was just going to kill myself. That day at school, a girl that I didn't know came rushing over to my locker and she handed me a Truth for Youth Bible and she said, "Hey, Jesus loves you. You should read this."
American Family Radio and Revival Fires International are partnering to give God's word to our nation's youth. Parents, order a free Truth for Youth Bible for your teen to pass on to a friend. Or teens, you can order a Bible for a friend. Visit truthforyouth.com or call 800-733-4737 between 8 and 4:30 Central Time. That's 800-733-4737. One free Bible will be given to each young person who promises to pass it on to a friend.
And there was a page in Truth for Youth that showed me how to give my heart to Jesus. I just prayed and Jesus forgave me of my sins.
Call 800-733-4737 or visit truthforyouth.com.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance each day to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today we pray for Steven Mnuchin, Secretary of the Treasury for the United States. His department oversees all financial and monetary matters relating to the federal government. 1 Corinthians 4:2 reminds us of the importance of being a good steward of money. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask you to give wisdom to Secretary Mnuchin as he oversees financial decisions for our country. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team. Volume 4 of our daily prayer journal is now available. To receive your copy, go to pausetopray.org.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
President Trump diagnoses Hollywood. That story next.
True at McConnell University.
My name is Peter Koh, and I'm a business major, and this is my junior year at the college. What I love about the athletics here at True McConnell University is the coaches and their side of trying to teach sports from a biblical mindset with sportsmanship involved, and it really changes the way that you pursue the game, not just passionately doing it for other people, but also for yourself and to glorify God in that, which is completely different from most other schools.
Are you called? Visit truitt.edu today.
It's no secret Hollywood has little regard for conservatives, especially Christians. But the new movie set to be released by Universal Studios, the one where Trump supporters are hunted like animals, well, that has President Trump up in arms.
Hollywood is really terrible. You talk about racism. Hollywood is racist. What they're doing with the kind of movies they're putting out, it's actually very dangerous for our country. What Hollywood is doing is a tremendous disservice to our country. We have now, in a little while, all of the heads of the biggest companies coming in, and we're going to talk to them. They treat conservatives, Republicans, totally different than they treat others. And they can't do that.
The nation's entertainment industry has joined the mainstream media in becoming the propaganda arm of the Democrat Party. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
I saw the most beautiful picture over the weekend. It was on Fox News, and it was three little kids. They happened to be black, but I want to say that because this is such a cool story, and it sort of shows you, again, that the problems we're having in this country have nothing to do with race. Well, I'm not saying there are no problems with race. I'm just saying the deep issues are colorblind. It's wickedness. So these three little ones are standing in a circle. Their mother has just left them off at school, and she actually took a picture, but there's no audio of it. And they were praying together before they go into school. And she basically said, her husband had just lost his job. And the kids have to go to public school. And she recognizes that she's sending her kids off to a place that's dangerous, into a world that's dangerous, and that she can't be there to protect them. And so they just all bowed and prayed together that God would protect and guide them. It was so moving. It was so moving. And it made me realize, honestly, I used to sing this song by Babby Mason that Babby Mason used to sing, "Oh, the only hope for the world is Jesus. The only hope is the gift of God." And so I think, oh, how we need him. Oh, how we need him. And so that's the beauty of that song. And so with that in mind, we're beginning a Truth for Youth Bible Week. And the way this works is you can ask for a Bible. We'll give one free to every student, or Truth for Youth will give one free to every student between the ages of 13 and 18 if they promise they will pass it on to someone else at school. So it's not just for their personal use, it's for them to pass on. And let me just say, you can, if you're a parent and you want to order one for your child, to do that, but they must do that. The phone number is, they must promise to do it, okay? That's the agreement. It's 800-733-4737. That's 800-733-4737. Or you can go to truthforyouth.com, truthforyouth.com, and order online anytime. And so that's just what we're doing this week. And like I said, heaven knows it's the washing of the water by the Word of God. It's the washing of us by the Word of God that's going to change people's hearts. And it's going to have to start from these little children in school and their parents and bubble up to the top, because heaven knows the top is rotted, the head is rotted. And so let's go back now about this horrible stuff I'm talking to you about with Jeffrey Epstein. I want to just, there's no need to dwell on this, but I do feel I need to tell you so that you have an understanding. Of course, the reason that it's, besides the fact that heaven knows he should never have died in that cell, he should never have been able to kill himself or be killed. And so that's what General Barr is going to be looking into. And how strange is it that the guards were working double shifts, that no one checked him all night long, that there were no cameras? How strange is that? And why was that done? All right, let me just say that I want to give you an idea of the kinds of people involved with him. Conchita Sarnoff is an investigative journalist, and back in 2010, she did a tell-all story, or an expose, about Jeffrey Epstein. And one of the things that she talked about, now I'm not sure, I think I'd heard about this a long time before, but the Clintons were very, at least especially Bill Clinton, was very good friends with Jeffrey Epstein. And according to her reporting, flew on that Lolita Express at least 27 times. Several times he did not take his Secret Service. Now, one of the girls reports that sometimes the Secret Service did come to the island, pedophile island, it was nicknamed, but that his Secret Service were not around where the people were. So both accounts seem congruous. So we know that the Clintons are directly involved. I had actually read that Mrs. Clinton herself was on that plane a couple of times, doing what? I don't know. Maybe just flying with her husband. Who knows? You know, who knows? You could be on the plane and do nothing, right? It doesn't look good, though, I have to say. According to a Twitter post by Preet Bharara, who was, again, he's an arch enemy, really, of President Trump. President Trump fired him as a former U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York. According to a Twitter post by Preet Bharara, who is the former U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, the facility separates inmates such as accused sex offenders deemed likely to be harmed by other prisoners from the general population. They, of course, went through Epstein's townhouse under warrant. They uncovered evidence of hundreds, perhaps thousands, of nude photographs of what appeared like underage girls. I also know there are tons of pictures of people that he was involved with whose names we may never know, but some of them we do know. Sometimes you don't even want to know, do you? But Bill Clinton's name, of course, is right up there. Prince Andrew, of course, you know that. President Clinton is claiming he knows nothing about the terrible crimes Jeffrey Epstein pleaded guilty to. President Clinton took a total of 4 trips on Jeffrey Epstein's plane, 1 to Europe, 1 to Asia, and 2 to Africa, which included stops in connection with the works of the Clinton Foundation. Staff, supporters of the foundation, and his Secret Service detail traveled every leg of the trip. And then so he says he knows nothing about that. That's Bill Clinton's statement. Of course, this Conchita, who wrote that report on Epstein in 2010, said Bill Clinton is not being honest about that. So that is one person, of course, of high profile. There are lots of them. But you also know that, of course, the left is now, every time they report, they're linking President yeah, what's his name? Trump with Epstein. Now, my understanding of the relationship with him, there's a video of Trump and Epstein in the, I believe it's in the 80s, at a party where they're both obviously enjoying the party. So Trump is a playboy billionaire and he's behaving like one, and Epstein is standing next to him. There's no indication that they were best friends, but they're standing next to each other, and that's one that's used to incriminate the president. And of course, that's what the left wants to do. They are now trying to link President Trump with that. My understanding is that President Trump actually barred Jeffrey Epstein from Mar-a-Lago a number of years ago because of how he is, because of reports of how he his behavior with underage girls. So, and we know that President Trump was on one leg of one trip on Epstein's plane. That's been verified, and that was again from Palm Beach to Newark, New Jersey. So that's not a long trip. So I don't know. You know, I'm not declaring President Trump is completely innocent on this. How could I say? But if you're going to equate his interaction with Jeffrey Epstein's and President Clinton's, that's not exactly equitable, because President Clinton reportedly traveled 27 times. I've already described that. So this is what the left is doing, of course. They're trying to link Epstein with President Trump. In fact, I noticed Fox yesterday watching. I was just dismayed, to be honest with you, because all they could talk about was the fact that President Trump tweeted what they're calling a conspiracy theory about the Clintons' involvement in the death of Jeffrey Epstein. He retweeted a conservative comedian named Terrence Williams. I don't know how conservative he is morally, but that's how he's characterized. So he links, Terrence Williams links information on Bill Clinton and Jeffrey Epstein, and President Trump retweeted that. That shouldn't be too much of a surprise, because remember when President Trump was running for office, and he mentioned, because he was asked something about it, he said very cryptically, I think that Bill Clinton's going to be in trouble because of his involvement with Jeffrey Epstein. And so he has not been shy about that. But of course, the left now wants to, of course, tie him and even Fox News with Jeffrey Epstein. I'm not talking about the individual hosts. I'm talking about whoever's handling the news department, and some of the hosts as well are cooperating with the narrative of the left. It's very distressing, but you just have to be aware of that. So, so what is all this conspiracy, so-called conspiracy theory about the Clintons? I don't think I think it bears repeating that they had something to lose with Jeffrey Epstein's information coming out. There's no question about that. And some are saying that, you know, with Jeffrey Epstein's sudden unexpected death, these things will go. He'll take this stuff to his grave. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know if there's other evidence about that. But it is true that people certainly associated with the Clintons end up in very bad ways. I heard somebody say this one time, you know, in your own life, think about it. How many people do you know that have been murdered or killed themselves in your own personal life, in your personal sphere of acquaintances? And with the Clintons, it's a very long list. And George Grassley actually writes about this a little bit in an article called "Is Arkanside Real?" We studiously avoid conspiracy theories at conservative HQ, but stop and think about it. Vince Foster, Seth Rich, Lois Lerner's hard drive, Hillary Clinton's email, and now Jeffrey Epstein. When the left wants something or someone to disappear or be disappeared, the desired results occur with astonishing regularity, especially if it touches on Bill and Hillary Clinton's interests. I would also point out, I think I talked about this not long ago. I believe that I talked about this, but I want to make sure I did. The FBI agent who was working, investigating the Clinton Foundation, which we know famously, it appears, was taking huge amounts of money for favors done by Hillary Clinton when she was acting as Secretary of State, which is grossly illegal, by the way. So there's been a tremendous investigation underway. There should have been one a long time ago. The FBI agent who was in charge of doing that investigation killed himself about 2 months ago. Now, I don't know anything more about that, but I'm just telling you. And so these are the things that I wanted to share with you about Epstein, just so that you have some sort of knowledge as you hear this thing unfold. And I'm sure Barr will be seriously investigating what happened in that prison cell, because that was the cell where El Chapo was held, or the facility where El Chapo was held. It was the facility where Paul Manafort was. High-profile criminals are placed, and you are expected that they're not going to be killed in this facility or able to kill themselves, because the particular crime that they are implicated with is important to the public interest. And so we can't have people walking into prison and being murdered before justice is done. Some are talking about the injustice to all of the victims who are coming after Jeffrey Epstein. I don't know. I don't know if his death is justice enough for them. Some are saying no. They wanted to face off with him and accuse him to his face and have him be accountable for his actions. I don't know. He will be accountable. That much we know. It's just wrong to think that there isn't justice, because we know that God is a just God. And there will be justice for all of us, by the way. There will be justice for all of us. God will sort all of this out in due time. There's a lot more news this morning that I wanted to share with you. Let's see, where shall I go with this? I'll just throw this one in because we have time to do this. Last weekend, there was a meeting of the Democratic Socialists of America in Atlanta, Georgia. And there was audio captured from this that you just have to hear. Clip three.
Quick point of privilege. Quick point of personal privilege.
Yes.
Guys, first of all, James Jackson, Sacramento, he, him. I just want to say, can we please keep the chatter to a minimum? I'm one of the people who's very, very prone to sensory overload. There's a lot of whispering and chatter going on. It's making it very difficult for me to focus. Please, can we just, I know it's, we're all fresh and ready to go, but can we please just keep the chatter to a minimum? It's affecting my ability to focus. Thank you.
Thank you, comrade. Okay, is there a speaker against name,
point
chapter, pronoun?
Privilege. Point of personal privilege.
Yes.
Please do not use gendered language to address everyone.
Okay.
Quick point of privilege once again. Quick point of privilege once again. Hi, James Jackson, Sacramento DSA, he, him. I have already asked people to be mindful of the chatter of their comrades who are sensitive to sensory overload, and that goes double for the heckling and the hissing. It is also triggering to my anxiety. Like, the be comradely isn't just for, like, you know, let's keep things civil or whatever. It's so that people aren't going to get triggered, and so that it doesn't affect their performance as a delegate, okay? Your need to express yourself is important, but your need to express yourself should not trump or over...
Okay, so, yeah, over something. All right, so this is the thing. When I was looking at the video, I was trying to see who was there. I did see some older people. Certainly, there are enough old radicals out of the 60s still hanging on. They're teaching and they're poisoning your kids at colleges and universities, and they hang out with the Democratic Socialists. By the way, Democratic Socialists, Barack Obama was part of that. Hillary Clinton was part of that. Bill Ayers and his wife were part of that. Democratic Socialists is, you know, well, they don't call them each other comrade for nothing. The moderator, you notice in that opening clip, said comrades, and so the comrades lined up to have their conversation. And then, of course, there's the pronoun thing. Fellow comrades, my name is James, he, him. That's the pronoun. And then the person stands up and says, don't, make sure you use the proper pronouns. And so what is the theme? You know, as you hear this, what do you think? Well, I think mental illness. I think we have produced a generation of unstable kids. You know, this is the same kind of pool of thinking from which we're getting mass murderers, and we're getting kids that are unable to relate to other people, unable to relate to their parents, and becoming really dangerous to society because of their, it's insanity, it's mental illness, it's whatever it is, but what it is for sure is completely untethered from the God of this universe, who orders things and sets down rules and regulations and boundaries so that we can maintain our sanity and understand this world. But the Democratic Socialists in Atlanta, you could laugh at it, but there weren't 10 people there. There were hundreds. And so we have to be aware of this. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. In one day campaigning in Iowa, Joe Biden informed the world that he chooses his truth over facts and concluded the day saying, poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids. In Biden world, poverty is connected to pigment. This same Biden said, you cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. As well as, Barack Obama is the first sort of mainstream African-American who is articulate and bright and clean and a nice-looking guy. Was it a gaffe or a heart condition revealed?
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner, or visit the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Hello, I'm Gary Robey, host of Call to Worship, heard each Sunday on American Family Radio. This one-hour program will lead you in a special time of worship and praise. We will focus on God's Word, spoken, and in music. Call to Worship has a different topic each week as we glorify God together. Be sure to join us at 5 a.m. Central each Sunday for a Call to Worship right here on American Family Radio.
Abraham Hamilton III.
God put us in this world at this time to be salt and light. We don't fool because of the darkness that we're facing. This is not the first time in the world's history that it's gotten dark. God has called you and I to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment.
Tune in to the Hamilton Corner, weekday afternoons at 5 Central on American Family Radio.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Banning guns won't stop mass murder because guns aren't the problem, people are. While the left argues that guns are evil, they're not. Just inanimate objects which can be used for good or for evil. If every gun was confiscated today, mass murder would break out tomorrow. Mass murders have been committed with axes, hatchets, blunt objects, hanging, drowning, poison gas, cigarette lighter fluid, camp stove gas, kitchen knives, meat cleavers, bombs, explosives, cars and trucks, and airplanes. There are two things we can do. First, armor up to defend ourselves and our families. Even Jesus directed his disciples to buy swords for their own self-defense. And secondly, urge all America to recognize that sin is the problem, and the only cure for that is Jesus Christ.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. A number of Russians engaged in an experiment involving a nuclear-powered jet engine died last week, and radioactivity was released in northwestern Russia. Some believe the failed test involved a doomsday nuclear-armed cruise missile, theoretically of unlimited range, due to what the Russians call its atomic battery. It is only capable of flying indefinitely, of course, if that power plant actually works. But this incident appears to be just the latest in a series of failed tests of this weapon system, which NATO calls the Skyfall, with accompanying releases of radioactive material. The trouble, of course, is not simply Vladimir Putin's evident disregard for the safety of these missiles and the environmental hazards posed by their further development. It is his determination recklessly to pursue ever more dangerous weapons of mass destruction with which to threaten and, perhaps, annihilate us. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. Well, last week, toward the end of the week, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, that's ICE, conducted a raid in Mississippi against seven food processing facilities. They arrested 680 individuals who were believed to be living and working in the country illegally. Well, of course, there was much gnashing of teeth. It was unexpected, not announced like the others were, and where the raids were thwarted because neighbors and illegal immigrants fled. And so this time this was not announced. And so the left is having a great deal of trouble with that. Jake Tapper interviewed the acting commissioner of Customs and Border Protection over the weekend, Mark Morgan. And I wanted you to hear their interaction because I thought Commissioner Morgan did a very good job of explaining why this is necessary. Let's listen.
I need my dad for me. My dad didn't do nothing. He's not a criminal. Government, please put your heart. Let my parents be free with everybody else, please. Don't leave the child with crying and everything.
Now, you and the president said just a few weeks ago that the pending ICE raids coming down the pike were going to be focused on violent criminals. That's not what happened here in Mississippi. Why not?
Well, so first of all, I've never said that the raids, as you call, were focused on violent criminals. I've never said that. And also, I think words matter. These aren't raids. These are targeted in law enforcement operations. And in this case, this was a joint criminal investigation with ICE and the Department of Justice targeting worksite enforcement, meaning companies that knowingly and willfully hire illegal aliens so that in most cases mm-hmm. they can pay them reduced wages, exploit them further for their bottom line. That's what this investigation was about, a criminal investigation, Jake.
All right, so I want to get to that in 1 second,
sure.
But just to give your exact quote, you're right, you didn't say violent. You said, quote, their part has always been and it will be to go after those that are criminal aliens, meaning those people that are here illegally and have committed additional crimes against American citizens.
So that was my response to a question about priorities. And the ICE's priorities will always be to go after criminal aliens as a priority. That doesn't mean they exclude all demographics. We still have to apply consequences, meaning enforce the rule of law for those individuals that are here illegally against immigration law.
All right, so that's the first part of it. And in a second, then, he's going to tell you, of course, Jake started with that clip of very sad. I mean, whose heart would not be moved by that little girl crying that her daddy's been arrested? But there's more to that story. And Mark Morgan gets to it in this second clip. Let's listen.
So it seems like undocumented workers, the dad of that little girl and the like, often bear the brunt of these raids and not the employers who hire them. Is it important to hold businesses responsible for this? Researchers at Syracuse University found that from April 2018 to March 2019, the Trump administration prosecuted 0 companies and only 11 individuals for employing undocumented immigrants. Obviously, hundreds of thousands of undocumented immigrants have been targeted.
So think about what you're saying, Jake. So you're saying on one hand that we're not doing enough, and then when we go out and we actually do what you're saying we need to do more of, they're chastised for doing that.
Well, I'm saying why aren't you focusing more on the companies and the business owners?
They are. Again, this was a joint criminal investigation between ICE and the Department of Justice, which was targeting the companies that were hiring illegal aliens.
Are there any charges against the companies or the business owners?
It's a pending investigation right now. There's a criminal search warrant to go in there to collect more information, more intelligence, and that investigation is ongoing. But that's the intent of that investigation.
Is it important for businesses to not employ these individuals who are in this country illegally and exploit them, as you suggested?
Absolutely. But it's twofold. So I think the American people need to understand that's exactly what's happening. So these individuals seeking a better life first are being exploited by the cartels to come here.
Right.
Once they come into the United States, then they're further exploited by United States companies by paying them reduced wages. But that's only the first element of this. These individuals here, and the girl, I know it's emotional. I know it's done on purpose to show a picture like that.
What's done on purpose?
But to show the girl. Jake, listen.
Just people in the wake of these raids, yeah, we interview people who are affected by them.
But how about interview the people that, because a majority of time in these cases, these individuals that are here illegally, mm-hmm. they also steal identities of U.S. citizens. They get fraudulent documents, Social Security cards, and et cetera. And so it's not just a victimless crime that's going on here. First of all, they are here illegally, and then a lot of times there's additional fraud that goes with this for them to try to get these jobs in these companies. So I understand that the girl's upset, and I get that. But her father committed a crime. And just so the American people know also, is that girl, her mother was home, and she was reunited with her mother within a few hours that night.
All right. So here's the thing. I think the illustrated point there, besides of all the explanations that Mark Morgan gave to Jake Tapper, as though he needed that, the point is that the media is, again, skewing the story, completely skewing the story. They show this very powerful emotional. I would cry too. You know, you can imagine if your dad had been arrested, it would be frightening. But the point is that if her dad was arrested for any criminal act, he would be taken away from her. If parents commit criminal acts, mothers or fathers, they are taken away from their children. They are separated. and they're separated by their own act. This father, as I understand it, had been asked to leave, and he did not leave the country. He was supposed to self-deport, and he did not. And so you can blame the United States government all you want, but it is, you cannot forget that the parents are putting their children in this position. All right, so then in keeping with that theme, CNN spent a great deal of time profiling an illegal immigrant who was dodging deportation. They did a lengthy piece on this guy. His name is Miguel Ramirez Valiente. And this is what happened. 8 months after the profile, he killed a man while driving without a license. He had several prior charges on his arrest record. Basically, his license had been revoked for driving under the influence of alcohol. His probation for that charge was extended to August 1st, which was a day before he hit a man named Buchanan. And this man in Colorado named Buchanan had a wife and 5 children, ages 6 through 15. But no one talks about that. No one talks about the cost that's paid by American citizens by allowing people to illegally enter and then commit crimes and never even be deported. It's like no one's minding the store. It is chaos for the American people. I think most people get that. Daniel Horowitz has another piece. This is another story that I'm confident you haven't heard this. This is a criminal alien who's been allowed to stay in this country. Let me just say, his name is Billy Chimermere. He came on a tourist visa in 2003. He overstayed his visa, and he should have been an illegal alien and deported, but he wasn't, and he stayed, and it goes on and on with the details of that. Well, now he's being accused of killing at least 19 people in Texas in nursing homes. What he does is smother them and steal their jewelry. That's his pattern. And as a matter of fact, the 19 are the 19 they've connected to him so far. They are actually now looking at some, I think I read 500 other unexplained deaths, 750 other unexplained deaths in nursing facilities that may have the same kind of details and circumstances. This is a mass murderer. And he was allowed to stay here illegally. And that's just one. Here's another one. In June, a Ukrainian national who had a prior driving offenses and larceny convictions and had not been deported killed 7 bikers. I'm sure you heard this story, including 5 former Marines in New Hampshire in a car wreck induced by his intoxication on drugs and possibly alcohol. And see, these kinds of deaths are never discussed by the news media. As well, they should be. Now, these are the costs of not having any kind of control, of not enforcing our laws, which is what the ICE agents are trying to do. And now, of course, they're trying to demonize them. It's really the world turned upside down. A friend sent me the following clip, which is related to a lot of things. It sort of gives you an insight into how the left operates, something that I certainly told you, but I've really never actually heard it out of their mouths in quite this same way. This is Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House. This is a statement that she made by way of explanation of how the left and chiefly Democrats operate. Let's listen.
You demonize, and then we call it the wrap-up smear. If you want to talk politics, you call it the wrap-up smear. You smear somebody with falsehoods and all the rest, and then you merchandise it. And then you write it, and they'll say, see, it's reported in the press that this, 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 and this. So they have that validation that the press reported the smear, and then it's called the wrap-up smear. Now I'm going to merchandise the press's report on the smear that we made. And it's a tactic.
Yeah, I'd say it's a tactic. It's an Alinsky tactic. We talk about targeting your opponent, but she said it in more current terms. So let's review what she just said. Yeah, it's a tactic. We demonize someone, and then we call it the wrap-up smear, and this is how it works. We merchandise it. We write this up, and we get the press to repeat it, this smear. And once the press has repeated it or written it, then we use the press's write-up to smear them further. It's the wrap-up smear. Yeah, it's a tactic. In fact, let's listen one more time. Let's listen from Nancy's own lips at what they are doing every single day to conservatives In politics and in private life. Let's listen.
You demonize, and then we call it the wrap-up smear. If you want to talk politics, you call it the wrap-up smear. You smear somebody with falsehoods and all the rest, and then you merchandise it. And then you write it, and they'll say, see, it's reported in the press that this, 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 and this. So they have that validation that the press reported the smear, and then it's called the wrap-up smear. Now I'm going to merchandise the press's report on the smear that we made. And it's a tactic.
Yeah, it's a tactic. And one of those persons that's been smeared and smeared and smeared and smeared is President Donald Trump, who was being smeared as a racist. I would say it's a very successful wrap-up smear, but I want to kind of remind you by using this montage that from February of 2017 through August 2019, the president has constantly condemned hate. And if you don't believe that, let's listen to clip four.
While we may be a nation divided on policies, we are a country that stands united in condemning hate and evil in all of its very ugly forms. We condemn in the strongest possible terms this egregious display of hatred, bigotry, and violence on many sides. As I said on Saturday, we condemn in the strongest possible terms this egregious display of hatred, bigotry, and violence. It has no place in America. Racism is evil, and those who cause violence in its name are criminals and thugs, including the KKK, neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and other hate groups that are repugnant to everything we hold dear as Americans. And you had people, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally. The vile, hate-filled poison of anti-Semitism must be condemned and confronted everywhere and anywhere it appears. There must be no tolerance for anti-Semitism in America or for any form of religious or racial hatred or prejudice. We must never ignore the vile poison of anti-Semitism or those who spread its venomous creed. With one voice, we must confront this hatred anywhere and everywhere it occurs. Our entire nation mourns the loss of life, prays for the wounded, and stands in solidarity with the Jewish community. We forcefully condemn the evil of anti-Semitism and hate, which must be defeated. In one voice, our nation must condemn racism, bigotry, and white supremacy. These sinister ideologies must be defeated. Hate has no place in America. Hatred warps the mind, ravages the heart, and devours the soul.
Yeah, well said, President Trump. And so I just wanted you to hear that because, of course, what we're hearing, pillar to post, is what a racist he is. There's no evidence of it in his life and the way he's practiced. I think he was one of the early businessmen that fought against anti-Semitism. He opened up his Mar-a-Lago club to Jews when that wasn't common at all. They were still blackballed. It's kind of amazing to me, but it was happening. I don't think there's any evidence of that, and yet they repeat it because it is a wrap-up smear. Thank you, Nancy, for explaining that to us, the way you work, the slander that you perpetrate on people, including us that love this country. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.